Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Erica, your host, again, because VJ is in Boston this week. So lucky you guys, you get me again. So we've got a couple of different topics to talk about today. I wanted to touch up on NUSA, our Neighborhoods USA conference that is starting on the 22nd. It's going from the 22nd to the 25th. And Neighborhoods USA is a national nonprofit organization committed to building and strengthening neighborhood organizations. The development of future community leaders is critical to neighborhood capacity building and empowerment. If you are between the ages of 13 and 18, get involved today by becoming a youth member of Neighborhoods USA. And it's only $25 to become a member for 1 year for youth, and it's $50 for adults. The annual subscription gets you a published newsletter from NUSA three times a year. It provides information about the annual Neighborhoods USA conference and other items of interest to neighborhood and community groups. And you also get a subscription to NUSA e-news, which are regularly sent out emails to subscribers providing updates on the annual conference, applications for the annual awards, and other items. So if you guys are interested in that, go to www.nusa.org, and you guys can become a member of NUSA. So the other thing I wanted to talk about quickly before we get into our real topic, my co-host Maria here, she looked up for me some of the stuff about the Oklahoma tornado that happened yesterday. I'm not quite sure how many of you guys have heard about that. I know a lot of people that I spoke to today, I said, have you heard about Oklahoma? And they're like, no, what happened? So quick description, an F4 tornado touched down yesterday in Moore, Oklahoma. It's near Oklahoma City. The death toll started at 58 and it has dropped down to 24, which is a good thing, but they also expect it to rise back up to 90-something, according to one of the news stations that we were looking at. What we were talking about was how to help some of the people from Oklahoma, and what we thought we could do here at Mad Dads was hold a little donation or a drive for people. If you guys have anything extra, bottled water, if you can afford to donate a couple dollars, blankets, hygiene stuff, whatever you guys can afford to donate, bring it by the office, and for about a week we're going to collect as much as we can, and then we're going to send it off to the Red Cross. A couple of other things you can do to help is go to redcross.org or text Red Cross to 90999. And Verizon Wireless, AT&T, and T-Mobile customers can make a $10 donation by texting that. And you can also text STORM to 80888 to contribute $10 to the Salvation Army relief efforts. So those are the two news clips. Now on to the more serious or fun subject. We're going to talk about how men and women see each other. Thank you for the Kit Kats, Lila. I just got brought chocolate. Okay, so how do you see men, Maria?
I see men as equals. Men and women as equals. What particularly
so
do you mean?
When you go down the street, when you're walking down the street and you see a good looking guy, what happens? What do you do? You just walk by him, or do you
I speak.
Woo, goodness.
Yeah, I speak.
You speak?
I'm not afraid.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the outgoing type.
Good looking, not good looking. I say hi to everyone. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Very friendly.
Yeah.
I try and say hi to a lot of people, too, especially if they look like, you know, they're just kind
of
having a bad day, or maybe,
yeah,
like, they feel like nobody's talking to them or something.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey, how you doing, you know? Well, we had kind of a big discussion in the office earlier today about how men and women see each other. And apparently a couple of guys have finally noticed what it feels like when the opposite sex looks at you like you're a T-bone steak.
Doesn't feel very good.
No, it does not. It makes you just, it makes you feel kind of small. Like they're just staring at you like, why are you looking at me so hard, you know? And I don't know. I've always felt when that stuff happens to me, I get uncomfortable. I get very uncomfortable. You know, I tend to go into a shell and get quiet, and I try and basically escape the situation in any way I can. You know, oh, I gotta go.
Nice
my
to meet
kids
you.
Need me.
Yeah.
See you later.
Change the subject.
Yep.
Keep it moving.
Yep. And I guess I didn't realize how much women do it to men, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because for a long time, me personally, I haven't let myself go there. I've been in a long-term relationship, and I just, every man on the street is just another man to me.
Right.
You know, I don't look at him as, oh, he's so fine. He's just another man to me because I have my man at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but recently I've just been kind of, I've been letting my mind wander freely on my own, you know.
Okay.
I've
nothing wrong
kind
with
of,
it.
No, I haven't, I'm not a cheater. Right. I've not touched, I've not talked to another man.
You're
just,
good.
You know, yeah, I look and I'm like, oh, okay, you're good looking, but I don't stare. I don't stare, I don't drool, I don't melt into a puddle on the floor like some of these women do. And
there's been studies that that's healthy for relationships, to not flirt necessarily, but to speak to other people of the opposite sex and, you know, have other relationships outside of your own relationship. You can't just be closed in and not speak.
No, absolutely not. Why do you think that is healthy, though?
It brings new insight into your relationship. You know, if you have a question about something that's going on in your own relationship, you can ask another person of the opposite sex and get a new insight, and that's healthier for your relationship because then, you know, you're more open-minded. You're not so close-minded into what you, your, only yourself thinks.
Do you think men and women do that maybe to see if they still got it?
It's different for everyone, I think. It depends on the person. It depends on the age, too, as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of, I don't want to just put it on men, because I know the women, you know, they thrive for the attention,
mm-hmm.
too. You know, I think a lot of men and women out there, you know, go and just flirt with people to see if they still are attractive, or if they, you know, if they aren't feeling so cute that day. You know, some man tells them, oh, you look good,
mm-hmm.
and or some woman comes up and you are fine, and that guy or that girl, their day's like lifted. They're like, hey, that girl likes me. I could probably have him or her if I wanted him.
And there's
nothing
wrong
with that. Boosts your ego, I guess.
You should want to accept compliments and do the same for other people, so I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think there's a respectful way to give out compliments versus
calling
across the street and,
yeah.
Hey, girl, I like that hairdo you got over there.
Now, that's disrespect, and that's on a different level.
Or driving by in your little Cadillac, hollering out your window, hey.
Yeah. I mean, if you answer to it, you're just as worth, you know, you're just as bad as the person calling you.
Yeah.
You know, if you answer to that, if you answer to respectful calls, then, you know, keep it moving. Thank them and keep it moving if you're not interested.
So how would you deal with somebody that just doesn't leave you alone?
Oh, I have that going on right now. I've ignored calls. I've told them over the phone. I don't want to talk. I've told them in person. How would you deal? I have no idea. I have no idea. You block them. You block their number. Or you stop going to where you know you're going to see that person. I don't know. You might have to get a third party involved, but harassment is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it very well can be dangerous, too. So But it comes on both sides. Have you heard about this Jodi Arias girl? They keep saying this girl that sings in jail or whatever.
I've seen her on CNN. Yeah.
And
I haven't heard her story though.
From what I understand, she killed her ex-boyfriend out of a jealous rage, and she stabbed him, like, a ridiculous amount of times. I'm not 100% sure as
to
what it
was.
Yeah. Oh, it was very much so personal.
Stab.
But, you know, she was stalking him for months, and she just wouldn't leave him alone.
Oh, so they broke up.
Yeah, they had broke up, and I guess he had never known her to be a violent person or anything like that, and she called to meet up with him one day, and she lost it. And he agreed to meet up with her, and I just, you know, sometimes I wonder.
Do background checks on people when you date them. Seriously.
You gotta pay for a background check,
no,
though, but
they're
I thought,
free.
You
they're
know.
Free.
Where do you get
there's
a free background check?
Google free background checks. Minnesota.
We are going to Google
Minnesota,
free background checks right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Minnesota
we are
background.
Find out if
Minnesota
you can
records.
Google your significant other and get a background check on them and see if they are stalkers. But, yeah, I mean, men and women have to be very cautious about that stuff. Because I think that people are just going crazy these days. I don't know what the deal is, but let's see. Oh, you can do free background checks.
Yeah, it looks like Fox News did a report on it recently.
Best 100% free background checks online. Wow. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, you find somebody that you are interested in and ask them for their name and birthday, do a background check on them. There's nothing wrong with that. These days and ages, you need to know. And with the rate that STDs are going, the north side of Minneapolis, you guys, our outreach team has been out telling everybody on the street about this. 1 in 3 people over in North Minneapolis test positive for HIV and AIDS. So that's not to mention the other STDs out there. You got to be careful. And a background check isn't obviously going to tell you if somebody, you know, has STDs, but you just really got to watch who you're with and who you're talking to, you know. And I don't know, I guess just don't make yourself so available. I think the guys like the chase anyway.
Right. Make that man go to the clinic with you.
Don't
make
chase
that woman
him down and go, hey, here it is. Here's my number. Call me. Let's go out. Here you go. You running down the street after the man. Make him run down the street after you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, play a little hard to get. And then find out who you're really talking to. Because if they're willing to put in the work to get you, then you know that they're willing to put in the work to keep the relationship going.
Right, and that's to say, make sure you're not speaking to their representative. By representative, I mean the front that they're putting on when they first meet you in that first day or week or month.
It's all butterflies with that first, you know,
exactly.
The first couple weeks of a relationship. It's all butterflies and smiles. And
exactly.
Nobody wants to show their true self.
And then you see, you know, baby mamas popping up and girlfriends and wives and maybe boyfriends. So
and kids
get
coming
to know
up
that
the woodwork and stuff is all wrong. Next thing you know, you found out you've been with somebody that's been on drugs for the past 10 years and you had no idea.
Just have some worth and self-respect about yourself and go the extra mile to make sure you're not putting yourself at risk.
Yep.
Because
and,
that's a life.
You know, and we aren't just speaking to women because men need to be doing the same stuff. You know the female that you're talking to. Because there's dirty little females out there, too, that, you know, take off their wedding ring, that hide from their baby daddies and all that other stuff. And next thing you know, they got all types of baggage coming out the woodwork on you. And now you're going, uh-huh. And you had no idea what you were getting into.
Exactly.
So, I mean, really, I've almost gotten to a point where I don't even know if there's good people out there anymore. I mean, I know there has to be, because I'm a good person.
Right.
I know I can't be the only good person in the whole world because I know I've got good people here and, you know, good friends. But it's almost like I don't know if I can trust anybody anymore.
Well, you take their actions seriously. Don't go by what they say. Go by how they act. And you don't be in denial that that's how you can figure out a person.
Yeah, but somebody could act great in your face and, you know, treating you like a queen. Or a king.
For a few months.
And then
they can't keep that up. They can't keep that up forever.
It's probably, yeah.
That's a professional con man or woman.
Yep.
If they're able to keep up that act.
Yeah, so, for years on and on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Meet the mamas, the daddies, the cousins.
Meet the whole family.
Get some references.
And then when they go, I'm going to meet my brother, you go, hold on, I met your whole family, and you never said you had a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people like that. Like, you know, oh, I'm just hanging with my cousin. And cousin Ray Ray down the street is a play cousin. I am so tired of play families.
Play family does not count.
No, it does not.
They're willing to lie for you.
Yes. And, you know, if you're close enough to be family, then just call yourself family.
Right.
You know, they don't have to be your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, whoever. You just say, you're family.
Right.
No, I never really got that. I know so many people with like 14 moms and, you know, 6,000 cousins, and half of them are like they don't even look like each other.
Mm-hmm.
They live in different states. They're not related. They met each other maybe once, but you her play cousin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed that's a part of the African American and Hispanic cultures. That we add extended family onto ours just from knowing.
Yeah, well, knowing, you know,
it's all about it's the culture.
Yeah, I mean, being white myself, I had, you know, extended family that really wasn't family, but we considered it family, you know, but I never really labeled them, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I more or less said, you know, this is my family.
So-and-so. Yeah.
You know, this is so-and-so. They're part of my family.
Yeah.
I never had, you know.
You don't label them.
Yeah.
My mom. That's been going on for me since high school. I've noticed that. You know, 99, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
This is my mom. This is my, like, everybody takes on a role. I don't know.
Well, you know, and the thing is, though, as long as the family's big and, you know, if you've got a big family and as long as everybody's teaching you positive, the more the merrier, you know?
Right.
With family, that's how it is. As long as everybody's, you know, getting along and happy about it, then, you know, I say it takes a village to raise a child. And
exactly.
If the whole family's in there, like, I've noticed a lot of the Asian cultures.
Mm-hmm.
They keep their whole family in one house.
Yeah,
you
until
know,
they get
all
married.
The
and sometimes even when they're
and,
married.
I've got neighbors that, you know, they've got the grandfather, the great-grandfather, and they've got kids all the way down to babies in there.
And that's because they're from a collective society, collective culture. They believe in growing together, working together, keeping
well,
the money.
Could you imagine how great everybody would be
if we thought like that?
If we all had, you know, just kept our families together and supported each other.
Yeah.
You know, if we had 10, 15 of us all, you know, pitch in to buy a house.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, guess what? We're all going to have money.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to have a place to stay. We're all going to have something to eat because we're all helping each other out. This is, you know, a family, and I think that's how family should be.
Right.
And to be honest, I think that's how we should start doing stuff.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I have a friend who is a guy, and him and a group of maybe 10 to 12 men get together once or twice a month and speak about who needs what in their community or in their own families. And they all put money together to help out whoever needs the help. Maybe it's a new baby, Maybe someone needs an airline ticket. You know, whatever it is, they all get together. And these men do it by themselves. There's no women orchestrating
it. Cool.
And I was like, you know what? I wish more people would do that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
So they get together once a month?
They get together as many times as they need to. And they put their money together.
Say, we'll call him Tony. Mm-hmm. Tony, you know, his car broke down and he's hitting a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
It costs him $500 to fix his car.
Right.
And he's got $150. He just calls up his buddies, this little calling tree or this group or whatever, and says, hey, we need to get together and talk about this. I've really got an issue here.
Yeah, they get in touch. They have a meeting date, and they all say, well, this is what I need, and they all put in what's needed, and it's like a family unit. It's like a helping, you know.
That's amazing.
I thought that was so awesome.
And they came up with that just on their own?
It's rooted from their culture. He's African.
Oh, okay.
So, like I said, those cultures, like East Indian, African, and their collective culture. So they work together, like as a whole, to help each other. So
that's really amazing.
I was like
idea.
Really inspired by that. I wish I had friends that I could get together with. Okay, so what's going on? You don't have that these days.
No, you don't.
You can't ask anyone for $5-$10 these days. Like,
no, I mean, I've got a few select friends and my one sister that I would actually say, you know, hey, I'm in need of $20. Can I borrow it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but...
And I don't do that.
If there was something ever to majorly go down and I were to really need, you know, some help...
Right.
I can't afford that right now, and, you know, my mom can't afford to just hand over a couple $100 to me. So, yeah, if everybody really could, you know, pull something like that together.
In a group of what, 20 women maybe, 20 men, 20, you know, mixed group of people, you could help a lot of people.
That's really a good idea. I'm going to try and figure out how we can, you know, spread the word about that more and implement that. Because we need that. That's a sense of community, a sense of belonging, a sense of people caring for you.
Exactly. You wouldn't have women out here in the streets with their babies. You wouldn't have them looking for, you know, maybe you could help somebody out with a down payment on an apartment, you know, you know, $500. Something to put down on a place to live. And they won't have to be in a shelter where they're getting all their things stolen or, you know, things like that situation.
Yep.
Help a lot.
That's really cool. That's very inspiring.
Yeah, that was inspiring to me. I was like,
I would like to know how he got that together. You know, like how he found those people that are willing to do stuff like that.
Most of those people are his family members and extended.
So they're actually his family then.
Most of them are people he met. No, but there are a few that they've pulled in, you know, that are from where they're from and they understand, you know, the whole culture and method behind that.
And the giving and stuff.
And I was just shocked that he told me that. Like, I have that meeting today. And well, we went and put our money together to help my friend with his new baby. And he got, like, $500+ for his new baby, you know?
Oh, that is so cool.
So, like, a group of men knowing the importance of helping someone that's just had a baby, like, that was weird to me.
Yeah.
Because usually, you know, you don't see men.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad that, you know, in our culture that, us two women are sitting here shocked that a group of men got together on their own and figured out how to help a family that just had a new baby.
Yeah.
That really should
be. With no questions asked. No.
Yeah. They weren't asked for the help or anything like that. That's really, that shouldn't be that much of a shock to us. But unfortunately, in this day and age, in our culture, it is. It's a really big shock. And
why we have the problems we have now, though. We have people committing crimes because they need help.
Yeah.
They need help financially. Where are they going to go to? Mm-hmm. They don't have anywhere to go.
They really don't. And it's hard. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's very hard to, you know, do stuff on your own and make sure that, especially when you have no money.
Right.
You know, I mean, right now I'm personally working on trying to get my license back. I've had a suspended license for 10 years, and it's really just, it's been this vicious cycle because I have when I had first gotten my license, they have a rule that if you get so many tickets within the first 2 years that you automatically get suspended. Well, I had gotten that many tickets for random stuff. I think I got one for speeding, but I got a couple for stuff hanging in the rearview mirror.
Right.
Or something around my license plate, yeah. Which was absolutely crazy. But, you know, once it got suspended, I had a job I had to go to.
Yeah.
I didn't have anybody to depend on to bring me to and from that job, so I had to go to and from my job with my car. I had to risk it. I didn't have a choice. Well, my car is in my name, so every time I get somebody gets behind me, a police officer gets behind me, they just run my tab, and, well, let's get her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I owe $2,000 right now to the state, but I just got my letter that said that as long as once I get it all cleared up, I'm good to go. I don't have to wait anymore because
okay.
I haven't gotten any tickets recently. So, but really, that system, it was made to bring people down. It's not made for the people that make minimum wage or that don't make, you know, tons of money.
Yeah, they make money.
Because each one of those tickets they gave me was almost $400.
Right.
I wasn't making $400 in one. So there's no way that I could, you know, take care of one ticket.
Right.
Let alone the 2, 3, 4, 5 that they kept hitting me with.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden now I owe $2,000, and I couldn't get a hold of $2,000 if somebody put a gun to my head right now. So it's just the system is not made for, you know,
people with bills.
Yeah, people that don't make a whole lot of money. If you are considered in poverty, you are pretty much meant to stay down. The system is put, you know, is working on you to stay down.
Yeah, there's a war on poverty.
And it's just, it's highly unfortunate, you know. And today in this day and age, you have to make $12.50 an hour to be out of poverty.
To get by.
Yeah. How hard is it for you to find a minimum wage job, let alone a job that pays $9, a job that pays $10. You have to go all the way up to $12.50 to be able to take care of you and your family.
Right.
And heaven forbid you have more than the average 2.5 kids,
right.
Then you're going to have to make $14, $15, $16, $17 an hour just to take care of you and your family. So, you know, really the biggest thing, I guess, wow, this topic really went off. I just looked at the title, How Men and Women See Each Other, and I'm talking about poverty and the minimum wage. Bottom line is get your education, folks.
Even with education, it's hard out
here. It's very hard. I've got my associate's degree in medical assisting,
mm-hmm.
and I can't find a job. I cannot find a job. I'm not certified, unfortunately. I should have taken my test way back when I graduated,
mm-hmm.
you know, 3 or 4 years ago. But I didn't have the money to take the test.
Right.
The test was $350. I didn't have $350 after just paying for college, and now they're starting to bill me for my, you know, student loans and stuff.
Right.
And they want $350 from me for a test. And I'm like, I don't have that type of money. So, lo and behold, there we go, find a different job. So I'm sitting here with an AA degree, and I can't do anything with it because nobody wants to hire an uncertified medical assistant. And unfortunately, right now, if I were to go take the test, I don't think that I would pass it.
Yeah, you don't have any current...
Because I don't have any current...
knowledge
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember some of the stuff. Yeah. Okay, so we've got about a minute left, so let's just quick run over. We got the NUSA conference starting tomorrow all the way through the 25th, and that will be, what is that, downtown? It doesn't even have an address on there. You can go to NUSA.org or call Carrie Aspinwall is the coordinator, and you can call her at 612-673-2243. Also, don't forget to come by the Mad Dad's office and donate whatever you can for the victims of the Oklahoma tornado yesterday. Blankets, water, hygiene, deodorant, soap, stuff like that, toothbrushes, toothpaste, text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10 or Storm to 80888 to contribute $10. These people really need our help. That tornado hit 2 elementary schools, a hospital, a movie theater, and one other thing. There were 5 major landmarks, and it hit the only hospital in that area. So they had to put up a makeshift triage center. So please, guys, let's help them out. Bring whatever you can to the Mad Dad's office here at 3026 4th Avenue South. Let's see, our phone number here is 612-455-4630 if you need us. And we've got our Tuesday and Thursday groups from 5 to 7 at 3023 4th Avenue South. Have a good day.